Do you ever hear these kinds of voices in your own head?
I really want to do God's will, but I always feel like I'm falling short.
People don't understand, but I need quiet time to figure out how I feel about things.
Oh, I just want to crawl in a hole when I make a mistake.
I am my own biggest struggle.
Perfectionism is a barrier to hearing from God.
I sure do. And usually at 2:37 in the morning.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
If this is your first time listening in, this is a podcast for women who love Jesus and long for the abundant life he's promised.
But some days, maybe even most days, you feel kind of like a puppet with perfectionism and people-pleasing pulling your strings.
If nothing you do ever seems good enough.
If you try too hard to do too much for too many for too long with too little.
If you exhaust yourself spending time to keep everyone else happy and your own needs go unmet.
If you struggle with the C word, control.
We get it. And you're in the right place, girlfriend.
Grit and Grace brings you weekly encouragement from wise, witty women.
Because we have the best guests.
We do. Women who come alongside you and equip you to replace the exhaustion of self-made goodness with the rest of God's grace.
Every week, we kick culture's bad rules to the curb so that we can follow Jesus's good plans for us.
In fact, when you subscribe to our email list, you'll receive a set of free permission slips that will help you identify and break some really bad rules. You can subscribe at gritandgracegirls.com.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Susie Eller, author of The Spirit-Led Heart. Susie described an early encounter with the Holy Spirit and said the Helper had arrived. I just love that. So, Sherry, how have you experienced the Holy Spirit as your helper?
You know, when I'm in a new situation, like if I'm traveling alone and everything is unfamiliar and confusing, I tend to fall into just this real conversational prayer. And I'll just kind of talk through what's making me anxious, like talking through the decisions I need to make. And I'll even say things like, well, okay, I need to get my rental car, but I have no idea where it is. So I guess that's the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find my rental car. And, you know, our listeners may think I am a complete nut job. I'm okay with that. But the older I get, the higher the likelihood that is that I'm going to pull a muscle while I'm traveling and end up kind of hamstrung, which is not good if you're going to be a speaker. And so for the past few years, I've noticed that as I've gone by that smart cart, you know, stand where you can put your credit card in, and for at least some places it's $5, you can get a cart to put your luggage on. Mm-hmm. I have literally been having this impression, Sherry, just get a smart cart. And part of me has always been like, no, I can handle this myself. And it's like, Sherry, just get a smart cart. And so I have been doing that. I have been like, okay, fine. I'm just going to go ahead and get a smart cart. And it's not like the Holy Spirit shows up and schleps my suitcases for me. But I feel like he does help me by steering me in the directions of options that I used to pride myself in not taking. How about you?
Well, I love that description of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. Oswald Chambers talks about the Holy Spirit as the helper, and he says that it's naturally unnatural, which I love that because yeah. I always thought it was like some big thing. And the story I'm about to tell is some big thing. But anyway, but it was some big thing, a big story, a big miracle and all that. And Oswald Chambers and what you just said is nope. He's just there,
yeah,
naturally leading us through our everyday life if we're, you know, wanting to tap into him and his guidance and direction. So that's beautiful.
Okay, so tell your big story, because I think it's both. It doesn't have to be
yes.
either or. It can be both.
Yes, I agree. So when I was in college, and I may have talked about this here, I was engaged to someone that I was madly in love with, and that engagement was broken. I was heartbroken over it. And one of the results of that was that I withdrew from God. I've been a Christian since I was 10. I've been passionately in love with Jesus since I was 16. But during that period of time, I didn't know what to do with God. I felt like I had heard from him and the things that were happening didn't line up with what I had heard. I was so crushingly disappointed and angry and grief-stricken, and I like to bring cheerful to Jesus, and I couldn't do that. And so I had just withdrawn from him completely. And so I was going to church. I was doing all the church girl stuff. I had the plastic smile permanently in place, but I was in deep pain and, but not taking it to God. So one night I was alone in my apartment. My roommate was out and I was laying on my bed and I just had this, it made me tear up talking about this how many years later, had this irresistible pull towards God. And I had the literal thoughts like, I can't stand it anymore. Like, I really just don't want to do life without God. So I'm just gonna face him because I know I'm about to get it. Like, this is what I'm thinking because I haven't been doing the things, you know, I haven't been praying and having my quiet time, and he knows that I'm really not happy with him. And so, but it's okay because I'm just gonna brace myself and take it. And this is seriously what I was thinking.
You felt like you were going to be taken to the woodshed.
I did. I just knew I was, like, I was going to get the big rebuke, you know. And suddenly, in that room, and I've only experienced this twice in my whole life, was the most tangible presence of love. It was so overwhelming, and it was the Holy Spirit, it was the helper who was coming to help me reconcile with my Father when I couldn't do it on my own. Gracious, I'm old. That was a long time ago.
Oh, but it matters.
But you can hear that it's just as real to me today, that I needed a helper. I couldn't return to the Father on my own. So the Holy Spirit said, here, come, let me love you back into place.
That's beautiful, Amy. Oh, how many years ago was that?
31 years ago.
I love it. Well, you know, combining Susie's, one of the first books that we talked with her, Come With Me, about how we are the 13th disciple, with her newer book, The Spirit-Led Heart. What's the big change, or what is a big change in your life because of the Holy Spirit? Or maybe what's a role of the Holy Spirit that shows up in your life?
I did a study recently with one of my small groups about the roles of the Holy Spirit. And he really is just so incredible. And just, this is just a short list, but like teacher, helper, counselor, reminder. He says he'll remind us of all the things that Jesus said. I wrote down word giver because he said when they didn't know what to say, he would come and speak through them. He told the apostles that. And so he's all these things. And when I thought of all these roles, I thought the one that's precious to me is that he's my teacher. One of my spiritual gifts is teaching, but really I have a limited ability to do that in my own power. But having the teacher, capital T, Holy Spirit teacher pouring into me changes all of that. He empowers me in a way to teach that I could never accomplish on my own. So one of the things, and Sherry, you know this because we've been working in our book together, but my process for writing or speaking is that I study the Bible first. And it is the most miraculous thing to me that when I sit down with my Bible, something to write with, something to write on, and I say, okay, Holy Spirit, do your thing. Like, show me what this passage means. And I will get all these fresh insights and new facets and all this stuff that my brain just could never do on its own. And the teacher comes in and does something in me so then I can share it with other people. And sometimes it's from a stage and sometimes it's on my blog. But lots of times it's just with the person that I interact with that day. And he teaches me and gives me something I can pass on to them. How about you? How do you experience the Holy Spirit?
I love that. And the word I chose in terms of the role is that the Holy Spirit is the convictor in my life. I'm not even sure if that's a word, but I really feel like it's in terms of teacher or guide or mentor. And for me, it's the toe stomping. And you have this expression, it hurts so good, you know. The Holy Spirit takes me from the ow of conviction, like, ow, like, oh, yes, that's so true, to the wow. Now here's the change that can happen as a result of the ow. And so it's something that's painful in the moment, but overall it's exciting because it's a catalyst for change. It's a catalyst for growth. It's a catalyst away from blame and shame and like, oh, I can never change, you know, I'm so defective to, oh, no. I get it now. I get it. Okay, now we can do. So it's like I go from ruminating Sherry to being action Amy, like because of the Holy Spirit, you know, in a good way, in a good way.
I was gonna say, are you sure that's good?
And so recently what happened is tomorrow night, actually, as of the day we're recording this, I'm going to be giving a message for our senior class at the little Christian boarding school I teach. And they invited me to speak for senior recognition. And as a side note, abject terror has set in. It set in at 2:37 a.m. last night. I'm like, so I don't know if I'm to sleep between now and then, but it's okay. God is good. And here's the other thing. Okay, I'm on a rabbit trail, but let me throw this in. I mean, literally, I laid awake panicking about all the things. And yet, because of my lifelong experience with the Holy Spirit, I know I'm going to be okay. Even though I can't quite get my hands to stop trembling, even though I can't get my breathing quite the way I would like it to be, and I did not go back to sleep, I still know it's going to be okay. I know that the message that God has given is going to land in the hearts of the students and the parents who are there, regardless of what happens with me. And so actually, you know, I was invited to give a prayer request, and I almost requested sleep, but I'm like, no, it's actually kind of irrelevant whether I get sleep or not sleep, because what God needs to have happen is going to happen. And that kind of thinking is the Holy Spirit, because you know Sherry Gregory's brain does not think that way. Sherry Gregory's brain is the panic-producing brain. Okay, so anyways, when they invited me a couple of months ago, I was like, yes, I would love to do that. That will be so much fun. And then I started thinking about, you know, some stuff that the Holy Spirit has been leading me to in Scripture. And the more I worked on it, the more I was like, this is dull. This is boring. This is heavy. Let me do something fun from my files. Let me do this talk. That'll make them laugh. Let me do, you know, and I kept trying to pull out fun, funny talks that I've given in the past. And the Holy Spirit would not let go. The Holy Spirit is like, no, this is the message you're supposed to give. And so I was like, oh, are you sure? Are you sure it's the right message for this audience? And so one day in class, my students, just kind of out of the blue, were like, hey, Mrs. Gregory, do you have any hints for us as to how to survive the big project that Pastor Gregory gives third quarter, because he teaches the Religion 4 class? And I started to say, no, I don't. When it hit me, the message I'm giving, the 3 points I'm going to make actually are 3 great hints for surviving their third quarter religion project. Like, it totally, totally matches. And so the subtitle of my message is 3 ways to avoid flunking your religion class project starting now. And yeah, literally, that's like the subtitle. Like, it doesn't apply to the whole audience, but it'll apply to the kids who are in the choir loft, which is the seniors. And if I hadn't had listened, if I had gone and done one of my other talks that would have gotten a few laughs and made me feel good and feel like, okay, I can just pull out the old thing and dust it off, I would have missed out on this moment of going, oh, this is why the Holy Spirit wanted me to do this message, which felt heavy and uncomfortable. But then the Holy Spirit, I believe, orchestrated that moment when the student was able to say, Mrs. Gregory, do you have any hints? And I was able to say, no, I. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, oh, yes, you do. And that, I don't know, you know, okay. There's just nothing like that experience of knowing, like, I didn't force it. I didn't make it happen. Clearly God is at work. It's all good.
And now I and all the listeners should sing the hallelujah chorus, because I'm just telling you, there is no testimony of the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, nothing more powerful than being able to reach into the hearts of very scary teenagers. Like, that's
Oh, okay. But here's the thing. So I go to class this morning, and I don't remember how it came up in conversation, but I admitted to them that I'm terrified. Oh, I told them, I know why. It's because my class only has 15 of them, but when I speak, there will be 66 of them. And it occurred to me at 2:37 last night that I don't know most of them, and they probably won't like me because I'm mature like that at age 51, Amy. I'm like, you know, totally on top of this maturity thing. I'm like killing it. And so literally, these kids are like, but we're rooting for you, Mrs. Gregory. And one of them said, I might not like what you say, but I'm planning to like how you say it. I mean, come on. I'm like, I came home. I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. I actually did need that. I didn't mean to fish for compliments ahead of time, but I really did need that.
Well, I think we all get that a group of seniors is probably the scariest audience possible. Possible.
Oh. I like to say they keep me humble.
Well, I mean, you've just given us a great example of this, but okay, I'm going to use the dreaded C word now, Sherry. In what other areas of your life would you have to really give up control to see the Holy Spirit move?
You know, I'm reading a book right now on hostage negotiation, and the reason I'm loving it is because the number one hostage negotiation I have to do is with my own brain. Like, I obviously failed that negotiation at 2:37 last night. But here's what astonishes me about these highly skilled hostage negotiators is how unoffendable they are and how much grace they live their lives with. Like, reading it is almost a holy experience. I mean, they talk about tactical empathy, and they are there, and they are listening, and they are fully present for people in ways that I'm like, we Christians talk about this, but do we do it at that level? And so if I were to give up control, I would become unoffendable, and I would be able to listen and have grace to the level of a hostage negotiator. That's kind of like my new goal.
Oh, my How about you? Goodness. Well, I am reading a book of someone that we're going to be interviewing soon. I'm reading the book One by Deidre Riggs. And oh my goodness, she has a chapter that just nailed me to the wall. And we'll save it for her upcoming interview, the majority of it. But basically, the idea is that we have two seats to choose between. One is the judgment seat. One is the mercy seat. And Ooh. We cannot occupy both of them. God can occupy both, but we cannot occupy both. And so the decision is, which seat will I sit in? And I'll tell you which seat I've sat in most of my life.
And it's the easy seat, right?
It's judgment seat. Yes, Aww. Yes, yes. And so, but her point was, is that when we move to the mercy seat, we allow God to sit in the judgment seat. We allow, Ooh. And we allow God to do his full job and God Ooh. To be God. Holy camoly. I mean, this is messing with me. So, I mean, I have a situation in my life today that I had to decide yesterday. Will I sit in the judgment seat? And can I just tell you, I feel so right. I'm just telling you, I feel so right. Or will I move over into the mercy seat, give up control, and let the Holy Spirit do his work in this situation? And I made a decision to move to the mercy seat. Now, we'll see how it all falls out. It might blow up. I'm pretty sure if I'm not in the judgment seat that this might not work out. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You've heard one of my favorite ouchie quotes. It's from Pastor Clarence Schilt in a book called A Life to Die For. He says, we do much, if not most, of our sinning when we're in the right. Yeah. Yeah. I just thought I'd share that with you today, Amy, because you just looked like you needed to hear that.
Dead silence.
Because I really love to be the friend that brings comfort.
Dead air. That's all I gotta say.
All right. Well, moving right along. Where have you landed that you never expected to land because of the Holy Spirit?
Well, and this is tied into the source of my angst today, which is very interesting. Women's ministry. Good googly moo. Who wants to do women's ministry? We're such a freaking mess.
Amy, but I wish you'd learned to be a little more honest. You know, like, get in touch with your feelings and tell us what you really think and feel.
I can barely tolerate to be in the same room with myself. possessed God to put me in rooms of women. No, I love you, all of you, please.
I get it. I get it. When we're lovable, we're so lovable. But boy, when we're a mess, we are such a mess.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and I was an elementary school teacher, so I had always seen children's ministry. This is my jam. This is what I do. And it was so interesting because I had a friend, this is years ago, that called me. I actually had a succession of two friends. The first friend asked me to be women's ministry director, and I was like, oh, thank you. No. And then the second friend called, and I asked her first, had she talked to the first friend? And she said no. And so I said, all right, fine, I'll pray about it. And I remember, I mean, it was this moment I'll never forget. I was standing in my kitchen. I was trying to make something for the bake sale at my kids' school. I mean, this is a rare moment. And then, the Holy Spirit started to speak and said, the answer is yes. And here's how you're going to do it. Like, it was so clear of like a structure and everything. It was crazy. And I was like, women's ministry. Who would have thunk it? Have you been taken someplace unexpected?
Well, yes, but it ties so well into the thing that Susie said. She said sometimes that we hang on the hardest where Jesus wants to give us the desires of our heart, and we're afraid that we'll get what we want and it'll be too big. The place I've ended up that I never expected to be is in collaborations. Because I was, as a kid, I was a best friends kind of girl, but I kept losing best friends. They kept moving away or hating me. And so I kind of gave up on it. I was like, I'm just going to be alone. People don't actually like me. And so for me to be slowly led back into these very nurturing creative collaborations has truly been too good to be true. And as I was reviewing our interview with Susie and she was talking about the confidence that comes because we have a helper, I realized, so it's the helper who collaborates with me who makes it possible to then collaborate with these other women in my life. But I always have that collaboration. Like the Holy Spirit is my foundational collaboration that makes the other ones possible and healthy. So yeah, it's I hadn't thought of that question at all. So it was a great question to realize what I always wanted I have, and in a really much, much healthier way than I could have possibly done it on my own.
And what occurs to me is that both of us expressed that the Holy Spirit has taken us to an unexpected place that brings us great joy.
Yes.
I can joke about women's ministry, but the truth is, you know me, Sherry, I'm a community girl. Yeah. And I love community. And you just expressed the same thing. So I think we're so afraid of the Holy Spirit in some ways. We're just sure he's going to make us move to Africa, you know, but then... But we've just expressed that wherever he takes us, it may be unexpected, but it will be more filled with joy than anything we could have dreamed up ourselves.
So true. So true.
So when we were talking to Susie, Sherry, you said that you can see the Holy Spirit is the cure for perfectionism. What did you mean by that?
Well, two things. First of all, as she retold the story of Peter, who failed so miserably before Christ was crucified, but then later, not too long after, he was speaking with such boldness to a crowd of 3,000 people, it hit me. The Holy Spirit guides our focus away from our failures and onto God's forgiveness, which then motivates us to action. And I'm like, because you know, for us perfectionists, failure is where we focus naturally. And so when it can get moved away from that, okay, that means we're moving away from perfectionism. And then second of all, as she was talking about her experience ministering to the women in prison, she said, I don't want to miss opportunities like this because I'm saying, Lord, I'm not capable. Because the truth is I'm not. But the Holy Spirit within me is. So Susie chose to take the risks. And so what I saw in all of this was that the Holy Spirit shifts our focus off our past failures and our current fears of failure and moves us to take action and to take risks. Because when we're taking an action and taking risks, perfectionism doesn't stand a chance.
Oh, so good. You know, I think there's been a backlash in our culture against this whole I am enough thing.
Yeah.
And appropriately so. But for perfectionists, we never believe that anyway.
Yep. Yeah, no, we never bought into it.
Here we go. The Holy Spirit is our solution because he flows in and fills the gap.
Absolutely. Well, let's end with something really encouraging and beautiful. How have you experienced the Holy Spirit as the comforter?
This is very close and personal this week. It's funny because I told one from a long time ago, and so I was glad I had a story that just happened. But we've had a really scary week this
week. Yeah.
Barry started having one minute he's fine and the next minute he's not. He started exhibiting some really extreme symptoms that pointed really strongly towards something that's genetic and a health issue that's genetic in his family. So we went to a doctor appointment yesterday, as you know, because you were praying fervently. We really expected to walk out with a major diagnosis yesterday. The good news is, I'll do the spoiler alert first, is that that wasn't what happened. It turned out to be something significantly more minor. However, the night before the doctor's appointment was pretty intense. We had serious discussions about what life could look like if this diagnosis came to pass. But we got in bed that night, and Barry has often done this for me when anxiety is plaguing me. And he was the one that was the more anxious of the two in this case. And I grabbed his hand and I was like, okay, so let's count our blessings. And we went back and forth and back and forth, just naming the things that God has done, remembering. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit said he would do, is that he would bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has said and done. And Jesus is alive and active today. So he has said and done things in our lives. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And the comfort that came from that was incredible. And we were able to sleep most of the night.
I love it. So what's the scripture that you've paired with these episodes?
Well, it goes with my story, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. John 14:26.
And what's the bad rule for this episode?
The Holy Spirit is too scary for me.
I love it.
And that may sound crazy because, you know, church girl would never say that out loud, but come on, let's get real. You know, the Holy Spirit is in mainline denominational churches, at least, is not spoken of, taught about, thought about very much. He is the neglected part of the Trinity. And so I think we have been kind of hands off. And I just love that Susie has brought this into such a biblical, beautiful space.
Mm, absolutely. So what's the fact to focus on instead?
The Holy Spirit is a gift to me. He is. He comes and he fulfills all these amazing roles in our lives and makes the reality of God and his presence just tangible.
Mm, absolutely. Well, all right. So the grit of all of this for me is going to come back to that C word, the dreaded C word, because here's another quote from Susie that just stuck with me. The Holy Spirit doesn't need us to be his project manager. And then she also talked about that we might need to be liberated from our own expectations that have nothing to do with God's plans, expectations of others, but also ourselves. And so being hands off with the Holy Spirit and just being able to say, not my will, but thine, and assuming that he's going to lead without giving me a blueprint or even a map. That's hard for those of us who prefer a plan and something that resembles control. So that's the gritty part. What's the grace part for you?
Oh, for sure. Well, the grace part really is that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. For so long, I have just felt like I had to manage my own emotions. I really have. And this is a place where I feel like surrender feels like something really great. It feels like a warm blanket. You know, I mean, it really goes back to the story I told at the beginning. I think I've tried to manage my own emotions because I thought I would get the stick. And God says, no, the carrot's for real. It's for real. You get the carrot.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 138 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode138, where you'll find this week's Digging Deeper download, a printable resource that helps you to apply what you learned in this episode, some show notes, and a transcript of today's conversation.
If you're looking for some really great books to read, visit gritandgracegirls.com/books. There you'll find a list of all of the books by all of the authors that we've ever interviewed.
Join us next week when we'll be talking to Melinda Means, author of Invisible Wounds.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.